The Ryan Tubridy Show on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Sky Broadband. With our broadband, your world is limitless. Live beyond.
Good morning, all. This is Ryan Tubridy with you this Wednesday morning. It's the 14th of August. It's kind of raining and then it's sunny and then it's raining again and then it's a little bit drizzly. Then it's fine. And we're here till 10 o'clock. 51551 is the text number and you can email ryan@rte.ie. Heading towards 4 minutes past nine. What have we got for you today? Plenty. We'll be keeping you posted on all of those things. I decided to just put up on Instagram this morning some kind of fun-sized book reviews. There's like two books that really struck me as being very good to recommend, and I couldn't really get into them in any great detail here. So if you go on to Insta Tubridy and to the stories, you'll see those two books. One is called Fleischman is in Trouble, and the other is called Three Women. There's another one I want to mention, and I'll do it really there at some point, which is called I, Fatty. And you wonder, what is that? And it's all about Fatty Arbuckle, the movie star from the early part of the last century, who was accused of a grotesque crime, but by all accounts wasn't guilty of that crime. But it's written in the style of the actor. So it's kind of got screwball comedy writing, if you can imagine such a thing, like almost from the 40s. And there's a zinger. As our singer in every paragraph, I mean, as the zinger comes, the language is fast. It's for smartass. That's why I liked it. And I bought a couple of copies of it to give to fellow smartasses as gifts. But you can only buy it, I think, online because I think it's out of print. But it's called I, Fatty, F-A-T-T-Y. And it's an intriguing read. And it came up because of I loved John Connolly's He, which is written in the style of Stan Laurel. And this book is written in the style of Fatty Arbuckle. And those movie stars in that era, funnily enough, aren't of massive interest to me, but it's growing because of those books. So that's there. That's for a different medium in some ways. That's I put the covers of the books up in pictures and things like that this morning because I was up way too early and had the time. Meanwhile, the Irish Times cartoon today features Boris Johnson with a clown nose. And this is what their esteemed cartoonist, Mr. Martin Turner, will probably do now when he gets a characteristic, whether it's somebody who's there with a cigarette in their mouth or a drink in their hand. I think he'd probably give Boris the clown nose. And it struck me as being particularly interesting because when I was off on my holidays, I read a piece in, of all papers, the Financial Times. Not a paper I would read, be honest with you, but I just had a copy of it to hand and I wanted something to read and there it was. And there was an article by a guy called Alan Beattie. And his point was, don't offend clowns by calling Boris Johnson a clown because clowns have something to offer society. Clowns make you laugh. Clowns fall down so you laugh, so you feel better about yourself. And he said that there's a guy from a British clown, well known in the cabaret and theatre circuit in the UK, he said, and I'm quoting him now, he said, clowns can be clumsy and gaff-prone and live in a world of chaos, but how they respond to that world is different. Clowns want to make things better. Boris Johnson uses his act to get himself out of troubles of his own making. So he said you can call him a buffoon if you want, or you can call him a wonderful politician who's doing the best he can for his country, but don't call him a clown because it's not fair on clowns. That was the piece that came to mind when I saw him being represented as a clown on in the Irish Times this morning. Honourable mention this morning for Irish woman Michelle O'Neill. According to Barry Moran in the Irish Sun today, Michelle O'Neill will make history tonight when she officiates at the UEFA Super Cup in Istanbul. She's from County Wexford. She's an assistant referee and she will help oversee the glamour tie, as it's called here, between footy giants Liverpool and Chelsea. She's 40 years old. She was part of the team of officials who took charge of the Women's World Cup final and is an experienced operator in the League of Ireland and Women's National League. So well done to her. It's kind of even surprising that we're still talking in those terms, but nevertheless, on she goes, and another flag flying for this wonderful country. Well done to her. When I was a boy, when I was a lad, during the summers, at the age of probably about 11 or 12, myself and my younger brother spent a glorious summer getting up at probably about 4:30 or 5 a.m. and volunteering our services to help the local milkman to hang out for the summer. He had the little cart with the crates on the back, and that contained milk, bottles, obviously, cream and yogurts and all sorts of dairy products from, presumably, Premier Dairies. And he allowed us, John allowed us to just hang out for the morning. It was the most, there was no one else up. You know that beautiful time of the day when no one's around, you feel like you're stealing the world to yourself. And we'd get up and he'd point at two houses in a row and go, one bottle there. And we go, good. And then the next house, he'd look, find the arrow, and it'd say, we'd like half a pint of milk and one thing of this and one of the cream. Of the, yeah, so we'd go, clink, clink, clank, clank. And then you get home. The reward was two yops, which went down a treat, as long as they were fruit of the forest, don't want any other flavour. And that was wonderful. And we smelt mildly of cream and sour milk and yops. But then, obviously, we cleaned up and watched Roland Rat or whatever, and the world was fine again. The reason I'm telling you this story is because in the UK, the milkman is back. And it's all thanks to David Attenborough. And since Blue Planet 2, and it highlighted the destructive effects of single-use plastic on the oceans in 2017, and then he made the war on plastics, milk delivery companies around the UK have experienced a staggering increase in orders. So the milk in the bottles makes great sense. And the bottles get sent back and they get washed. So is it time to... Are we meant to go down this way? They're saying one dairy said the interest has increased dramatically in the weeks after that show aired. And I don't know if milk bottles still exist in the sense that they're... Does anyone, a dairy, make them and deliver them? I don't think so. But is it time to rethink that? Maybe get back in the van and get back delivering the 1-1 of a morning and sort out the milk, get the arrows out and do our little bit. Speaking of which, Greta Thunberg. Now, you probably know Greta Thunberg at this stage. The Irish Examiner tells us that she's the teenage climate activist. She's on the cover of GQ this month. She is beloved by younger people in particular, which is great. She's a leader, and she is beloved by climate activists, if you want to call them that. And what she's doing is she's due to set sail from Plymouth to attend UN summits in New York and Chile on tackling global warming. She's 16 years old and she's making the trip across the Atlantic on a high-tech racing yacht so that she can get to these events without using planes or, this is new on me because I don't really understand all of this, but I'm working on it, or cruise ships which emit greenhouse gas emissions. So I thought the carbon footprint of the planes were so bad that we'd all have to get on boats. And I thought that a boat might include a cruise ship if you wanted to call it that. And that's fine. Then we're all good because we're on the sea and we're not up there spouting out rubbish from the plane. Turns out, no, they're gone too. So really bar a raft at this point, or I don't know what we're going to do. I haven't got into the anti-plane thing yet in terms of travel plans necessarily, but it's certainly on the move. Anyway, back to Greta and her sailing trip, like something out of Huckleberry Finn, the Swedish teenager whose school strikes have inspired a global protest movement by young people demanding urgent action on climate change, has previously addressed the UN conference in Poland. But she's taking a sabbatical year from school because you wonder, with all her activities, is she still learning about things that she'll be learning about in school? She's taking a year off and will join large-scale climate demonstrations there. She's going to travel on a 60-foot sailing yacht, which is fitted with solar panels and underwater turbines to generate zero carbon electricity on board. So off she goes. She has Asperger's, as it turns out, and that, she has said in the past, helps her see things outside the box, and that makes her very focused, it seems, on the climate change issue and what she's doing. She's driving this. I think it's intriguing and probably very hopeful that a 16-year-old can lead a movement. I think that's great, and that certainly younger people around this country and around the world seem to be engaged by her, and it's just healthy, and it's great to see them debating. It's great to see them engaged, and it's great to see them interested in politics, and this is good news. So well done to her for all of the above. Meanwhile, down in beautiful Glengariff in West Cork, was there not too long ago, had an ice cream, went to Garnish Island and met some lovely people along the way, but that's got nothing to do with this story, which is all about the great late Maureen O'Hara. And it's a strange story, probably an August story, but the Irish Examiner always give us good stories and they're there again today. It's Maureen O'Hara's statue almost complete in Cork. The train is nearly here. The bus is, it's at the roundabout over there and it'll be here. So the statue is almost ready. Now, here's my hope. I'm a great time for Maureen O'Hara, and I love her movies, and I met her and interviewed a few times, and I was always taken by her, and just a great mind, one of those amazing people to meet. I just hope the statue's good, because I've seen some pretty peculiar ones. I think we all have, and not just in Ireland, but around the world. There seems to be a rush to make statues of people, and they sometimes the likeness and the integrity of the person's original shape and size can be maybe lost in translation or the rush. Either way, I hope it's in safe hands. There's a name here. Yes, sculptor Don Coleman has completed the head and is expected to finish the body by the end of next month. It's going to cost €60,000 for this life-size bronze statue. And she was, of course, born in Dublin, and they're nearly there, and it's being jointly funded by O'Hara's grandson, Conor Fitzsimons, Glengariff Tourism Association and Cork County Council. It's a great thing to do for a great, as they say, Hollywood and Irish icon. So hopefully it's going to be beautiful and respectful to Maureen O'Hara. Quick one, I think just a nod to the Clare People newspaper. They do this thing on a program on CNN called Reliable Sources on a Sunday at 6, where they point out the disappearance of local newspapers in states around in America. And after 14 years in existence, the Clare People has announced that yesterday's newspaper was its last. It was first published in June 2005, and then it just it's closing down. I just think we should mention it and be aware that local papers are so important. And if you are somebody who buys one and hasn't bought one for a while, if you could think about buying it and keep going to keep them alive. And of course it's about jobs, but it's also about community and keeping that sense of local conversation going. And because when that goes, then it's another little piece. It's like the post offices or the guard stations closed. It's just another piece of the fabric dissipating. And I think that's a bad news story. So I'm sorry to hear that paper's going down, but I do think that we have a responsibility as consumers of media to keep these papers alive by actually buying it for £2 a week and keeping the whole idea of communication and society and local interest alive. That's it. End of lecture. But it just came to mind when I saw that piece there. I don't like seeing papers closing down at all. Okay, and then who is this? Opera legend Placido Domingo said allegations he had harassed a string of women were painful and deeply troubling. They've gone with the headline and star. Opera star says, "I'm no dodgy tenor." 51551 is the text number. Let's take a few texts and see what you're all saying to us this morning. We get milk in bottles from Leitrim in Lundus, and Trim in County Meath. Lovely. My uncle works at a creamery where they deliver milk and cream in glass bottles, so they are alive and well. Glass milk bottles alive and well in County Kerry, says Caroline. Company's called Ballymac Milk, small artisan company with one supplier, and the CEO is Chris. So well done to them. Ryan, just having my coffee with glass bottled milk purchased at Leafling in Ballinspittle in Barber. And another from Dunlavin Dairies in Dunlavin, County Wicklow. They deliver their own milk daily in bottles to local homes and even supply boxes. So you can leave out your boxes for return for your next delivery. And they're going doing this the last couple of years. It's a great service, a great thing to do. And I think that is something that, you know, other suppliers might consider doing. Quick one from Alison. Is I'm looking for some help. Recently moved house and we have uncovered a huge collection of Time magazines from the early 60s to the 90s. Thousands of editions. In brilliant condition. Could you or your listeners advise where they could be put to good use? It's a good question, isn't it? I'd love to have free time to read them all, but alas, I don't. It's an incredible resource in the right hands and charting history. I don't have the time to sell them individually on eBay in case that's a suggestion. Okay, so you don't want to flog them. Essentially, you want to give this massive collection of Time magazines from the early 60s to 90s to somewhere like the Little Museum of Dublin or somewhere practical where a school library might look at them and take them and show kids magazines. I don't think children read magazines necessarily anymore, maybe even comics, but they're nearly museum pieces. So it's a very generous thing to offer, and we'll put it out there, see what people have to say. Thought Mary says, your brother might like to know, I tried to get the iFatty book in the library recently, only to be told that I'm 170 on the waiting list of 183. I don't think I even mentioned iFatty yet, because the one I mentioned was Fleischmann is in trouble, and that one is flying off the shelves. The other one was Three Women by Lisa Toledo, and The iFatty, if I haven't mentioned, I should mention it. I bought one copy online for Gay Byrne, who I know will absolutely love it, because he even speaks like that sometimes when he's getting giddy. And I met him recently for a coffee. He's in just flying form, and so he's getting one of them. And as for the others, you'll probably have to find it online. I don't know if libraries have it, but that's great if they do. iFatty by Jerry Stahl, S-T-A-H-L. Right, 51551 is the text number. You can email ryan@rte.ie at 18 minutes past 9.